Amen.
Well, we were doing a little teaching this morning on jealousy. And the purpose of this is that we face things that we have to overcome. So I'll say again what I said. Sometimes God blesses one with something that he doesn't give to another. And so that we do not become jealous of the other brother or envious. God wants us to be satisfied with that which he has blessed each one with. And there come to me a couple of examples in the Word of God where this thing really became a problem. And wouldn't you know that the very first example was in the fourth chapter of Genesis. And I'll read a few verses here in Genesis chapter 4. We're talking about the problem of Cain and Abel. You know, God gave us character studies in the Word of God. He didn't just say, do this, don't do that. But he gave us examples of people. One does the right thing, another doesn't do the right thing, and what happens as a result? In the course of our life, we have watched these things come to pass, and we've watched certain life patterns come to a fullness. I'm a little over 70 years old. Still a lot younger than I intend to be before it's over. But in the course of 70 years, you have had the opportunity to observe people, other people's lives also go the full spectrum of that period of time. And you remember way back decisions that people made. And continue to make throughout their life. And you can remember some people that maybe made some bad decisions. But there came a time when they had an opportunity to make it right. And how they turned about and turned to the Lord, and how their whole life began to change. I can very well imagine the horrible path of hell that I could be on today. And I can see very clearly that I remember the time I don't know, maybe 40 years ago. That again I had to make decisions. Very difficult decisions to make. Decisions that could cost me everything that I wanted to be. And how the Lord showed me that I had planted some bad seed. And I was getting a bad crop from the things I had grown. And then a time when I said, I'm going to sow in righteousness from this day on. But you see, the Word of God says, whatsoever a man sows, that will he reap. So after we began to sow in righteousness, for a season of time we were still reaping from the crop of unrighteousness. And this is a very crucial time when somebody makes a decision. Because this is the time when the devil comes and says to you, you see, it isn't doing you any good to sow in righteousness. All this bad stuff is still happening in your life. And where you have to make your stand and say, no, devil. God said, whatever I sow, I will reap. And my old crop of unrighteousness is going to come to an end. And my new crop of righteousness is going to bear good fruit. So throughout the course of your life, from then on you begin to make a decision, a decision, a decision. And these decisions begin to cost you something. You begin to pay. You begin to change the thing that you wanted to do and wanted to be. I doubt that there's one of you elders here that at one time you weren't going down a certain path. A religious path. You had a goal, you had an aspiration of what you wanted to be. And somehow you found out that it wasn't what you really wanted. I had another path I was going on. Amen. I had a path in the world that I wanted to be a big, big man in the healthcare and the hospital business. One day the Lord said to me, you cannot serve two masters. And I came to realize if I wanted to climb that other ladder, I was going to be a slave to that system. But I still had to earn a living. And so I began to take any job I could get so that I would be free to follow the call of God wherever He wanted me to go. And He began to call me to go to the nations. Now, not many full-time employers are very agreeable when you say, I want to take a week and go to Africa. I want to take 2 weeks and go to Philippines. And they'll say to you, if you want to work for me, you work for me. So we have to pay a price for these things. Now, getting back to the Word of God here, in the fourth chapter of Genesis, it tells that Eve is bearing children. She bare Cain. And in verse 2 it says, and she bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground.
Ukunya usab ang kanag siya kang abin na iyang isuon, o siya abin na magbalantay sa mga karnero, apan si Cain mag-uuma sa yuta.
Two kinds of farmers.
Adunay duha ka klase sa mga mag-uuma.
One is keeping sheep. One is keeping the ground, keeping the earth. And you can see the spiritual picture here. The one man is tied to earth. His orientation is to earthy things. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with growing your own food. That's not the thing I'm saying here. Amen? But here's the problem. Verse 3. In the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Now, God respected Abel and his offerings, but he didn't respect Cain's. Now, what do you think? Do you think that both of these men had no idea what would please God. And it was just a guess. One guessed, oh, I think he'd like my crops. And the other says, I think he'd like my sheep. No, God wouldn't be like that. Both of these men knew what God wanted. Cain knew what God preferred. And he decided to experiment with some new things in church. Let's change things a little bit. Let's not be so bloody about it. You know, people are offended at this preaching about blood, blood, blood all the time. And so you have for the second time man's ideas about how to approach God. First we have Adam and Eve, and they have what's called fig leaf religion. I mean, today they say, well, the animals own the earth. And we have to respect Mother Earth. But God did not go for the fig leaf method of covering sin. God is saying, no, it is only the blood that will cover the sin. Now with their children, the one son comes along and says, works. The labor of my hands, the work of my hands. But the other chose the sacrifice of blood. So God accepted the one, and Cain was not only jealous, but he was angry. So you see the pattern. You see how it goes. Jealousy. Anger. And then what does it come to? Murder. Of course, you can insert hatred in there first. And then murder. You see the path. But it starts. It has a starting place. And this is the thing about overcoming. If you know your problem and can nip it in the bud, right there when the thought comes, you say, no. No, I'm not going down that path. I'm not going to entertain those thoughts. Come on, you overcome everything that way. You overcome the lust of the eye. No, my eye will not look at that. My mind will not think that. Now we can say, poor Cain, he didn't have much instruction. But God caught him right away. In verse 6, and the Lord said to Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him.
Kung maayo ang imong gibuhat, kinidili ba pagadaygon? Ug kung dili ka magbuhat umayo ang sala na nahiad sa ganhaan, ug kanimo mamao ang iyang tinuha apan ikaw magabuhat ni.
So God is saying, this thing of sin is waiting right there at your door. Come now. Right there at your door. Right there at the door of your soul. He's just waiting for an opportunity and for you to open that door a little bit, and he'll be coming in. And why does he want to come in? He wants to rule over you. He wants to devour you. He wants to give you a life of hell. You know, you begin hell while you're here on earth. In like manner, you begin heaven. You can have heaven in you. Amen. And that verse in Romans 8 says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed in you. Alright, so this is what sin wants to do to you. By the way, sin is not something impersonal. Sin has a name. He is a person. Not in a sense human person, but he is a person, a being. So he wants to rule over you. But thou shalt rule over him. So did Cain take God's advice? No, he didn't. No, he would not listen. And he went ahead, and you see the fruit of what he did. Now, I want to show you another man in 1 Samuel. 1 and 2 Samuel. Wow. What a set of books. And one time I said, God, I'm so glad I'm not King David. Everything in my life would be written down for everybody to read. All the mistakes of King David. But also, all the things that David did, and he turned to righteousness.
David,
but But there's another character here.
Pero adunay lain nga kinaiyahan diri ha.
And almost as much is written about this other fellow.
Oga kini nga mao nga mga pagtabuan na hisulat kay susang magdiyan tungod sa katao.
One time years ago, I went through Samuel, 1st and 2nd. And I long before these recordings. I must have done 8 or 10 messages on the Saul and David.
Mga otso, napulo na ka mga mensahe kinakuha na kuto nagikan ng Saul kan David.
But let's look at Saul.
Pero sa tanawon si Saul.
Here's a man that had every opportunity to do the right thing.
Aduna kayo siya kay gayunan nga makahimo sa mga maayong butang.
He could have been a son of God.
Mapili siya mahimong anak sa Dios.
He could his children could have become kings of a nation. And follow the decisions that this man made that took him down.
Kita na to ang mga paghitabo ng tubigan sa taas ng tubig palulong ng tubos.
And I'm going to give you my diagnosis of Saul. I'll give it to you right now. Because of his continual disobedience, he became what I will call a paranoid schizophrenic. Do you have a word for that in your tongue? Paranoid schizophrenic. And he didn't have to end up that way. So, let me just follow through a few verses. Amen.
Amen.
Now we start off in the 13th chapter. And I'll just give you a few little verses so you can follow the life of Saul. Now, by the way, I know that God didn't dictate these chapters and verses. 1 Samuel 13:13. By the way, do you know what the meaning of the number 13 is?
Yes.
13 is the number of rebellion. Amen. 12 is a divine order of governing. When you add one more to it, you have rebellion. So here we have a man of rebellion. It says, And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom over Israel forever."
Unang Samuel, Kapitulo 13, Versikulo 13, nagaingon, "Og si Samuel, miingon kang Saul, ikaw naghimo og ginuang, ikaw wala pagbantay sa sugo sa Ginoo nga imong Dios, na iyang gisugo kanimo, kay karon buot sa Ginoo nga mapalipod ang imong ginharian sa Israel sa walay katapusan.
But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee."
Apan karon ang imong gingharian, dili mapadayon. ang Ginoo nangita alang kaniya ug usa ka tawo nga uyong sa iyang kaugalingong kasing-kasing ug ang Ginoo nagturo kaniya aron mahimong prinsipe ibabaw sa iyang katawhan tungod kay ikaw wala magbantay sumala sa sugo sa Ginoo kanimo.
Now Saul had only been king, as near as I can see, about 2 years. And the people had gathered together in Gilgal. And Samuel, the prophet of God, and we know that Samuel grew up in the temple as well as a priest of God. So he was given instructions that he was not to make a sacrifice until Samuel came. He had specific word through the prophet. But Saul began to think in natural man thinking. He began to think like a pastor. Well, the people are restless. I have to do something. God isn't moving, so we'll move God. Have you ever heard that? God isn't moving, let's move God. Well, if God isn't moving, God isn't moving. And all you're going to have if you try to do something is another thing of man. So Saul made a sacrifice and everybody said, yes, 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 good, we're having some religious service here. But Samuel showed up. And so the first step, the first word that Samuel gave him is foolishness. Now you might say, well, foolishness, that's not so bad, that's not a big deal, he was just foolish, he just made a bad decision. You know, there's worse things than being foolish. Surely God can overlook my foolishness. But you see, this very thing jeopardized his place in the kingdom. It jeopardized the place of his sons in the kingdom. So now we come over to the next chapter. God has given him another chance. Oh, there's several foolish things he did in the next chapter. He called for one of the things, he called for this fast. He didn't know his own son wasn't there. And he said, cursed be anybody that doesn't fast today. You can see that Saul has a lot of religious ideas, doesn't he? Well, the whole church is going to have a fast today. We're going to see a move of God. You know, you've heard that, haven't you? In other words, we're going to move God. God doesn't want to move, but if we all fast, surely we'll make God move.
ginagi sa to ang mga pagkwasa.
Jonathan didn't know anything about this. Jonathan and his armor bearer were out there whipping the Philistines. I mean, they were really beating them up. They were having a good time. And so they got a little tired, and Jonathan put his staff into a beehive, and he had a good taste of honey. Saul found out about it. Jonathan must die. He didn't obey my fast. You see his pastoral thinking. You know, and the people had to rescue Jonathan from his father. Kill anybody that disobeys me. Kill my own son. But his son didn't know anything about it. Well, that was the first thing. This is a big chapter, by the way. Then Samuel comes again. And he says, okay, now I want you to kill the Amalekites. All of them. So Saul goes out to war. And he defeats the Amalekites. By the way, and they weren't to take any of the spoil. They were to kill every ox, every ass, every sheep, man, woman, child. That wouldn't go over real good today, would it? Well, that was God's way. That was God's orders. So, just about that time, again, Samuel shows up. Saul eagerly runs out to greet Samuel. I mean, like he's coming to his father. Father, I did a great job today. I defeated the Amalekites. Aren't you proud of me, Samuel? Samuel says, why do I hear cows? Why do I hear sheep? Whose are these? Well, I thought God would like a good sacrifice. You know, besides, it wasn't really my fault. It was the people. They fell on the spoil, you know. I couldn't control them. And again, Samuel says that God is more interested in obedience than in sacrifice. And in verse 23 of chapter 15, for rebellion, wait a minute. First it was foolishness. Now it's not just foolishness, it's rebellion. Do you see the difference? He's gone one more step beyond foolishness, now it's rebellion. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king.
Kaya ang pagsukol sama ra sa sala sa luman, o ang pagagahi sa kasing-kasing sama ra sa pagliwata o pagalagad sa mga Diyos-Diyos. Tungod kay imong gisalikway ang pulong sa Ginoo, siya usab magasalikway kanimo gikan sa pagkahari.
Now God is saying, you're involved in the equivalent of witchcraft. You're involved in idolatry. But it didn't seem that way to Saul. Oh, okay, I did wrong, but you know, I really was afraid of the people. So it was that, oh, by the way, he saved King Agag. Agag, the king! Why would he save Agag the king? He wanted a trophy. He wanted a trophy. You know, the hunter that goes out and he kills the big deer and he mounts his head up on the wall.
That's
like a trophy. And you know, sometimes these men of old, they would take the king and they would parade him down through the city and put rope on him and make him come like a slave, you know. Saul wanted to do something like that. By the way, you know that Saul did not kill all of the Agagites? Did you know that? Do you know where they showed up again? Tell me where they showed up again. How about the book of Esther? Haman.
Si Haman.
Haman was an Agagite.
Si Haman, no. Kaliwat sa dito ka sa Agagite.
This is why God said, "I want to be rid of them." Because they're going to come back and they're going to threaten you again someday. Now let's not be looking at people, let's be thinking about these spirits. If you don't destroy all the spirits that have come against your life, one of them is going to come back again. Might be your children, might be your grandchildren, but they have a way of coming back. This is why when David went to war, it wasn't just enough to have the victory in the battle. But they would chase the enemy until they had gotten them all. This is the way it was with Joshua. Remember the five kings of the Amalekites. Amalekites? Did I get that right?
Amalekites.
Five kings of the Amalekites, yeah. Yeah, the same bunch. And remember that Joshua said, lock them in the cave, but go after the others, and we'll deal with these later. Amen. Well, anyway, the Lord rejected him. Remember the story how he grabbed at Saul's garment and he tore it? And Samuel said, that's the way the Lord has torn the kingdom from you. Oh my. There's so much here. Let's go to chapter 17. Now here we have Goliath. And Goliath is coming out and challenging the armies of God. And what is this head and shoulders taller than everybody else king doing about it? He's shaking in his tent. He's afraid.
Nervous.
And little David comes into the camp. The young boy that fears nothing. The young boy that has learned that God can take care of any enemy. And who is this uncircumcised Philistine? I mean, I went after a lion that's worse than this guy. Come on, I broke his mouth with my hands. Who is this lion to think he can have one of my little sheep? Come on, shepherd. Who is this devil that thinks he can destroy this little woman? This little child. Amen.
Amen.
So we know the story, and we know how David prospered in this. And you know, in chapter 18, we get into the next chapter. I'm just kind of summarizing it here. Now here's where the jealousy really begins to come out. David is respected. David is loved. He's a young, handsome fellow. The little maidens love David, singing their songs. Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. Saul should have been delighted. Saul should have been so glad. Oh, I'm so glad I have a good captain in my army. Praise God, this young man is really going to help me. No, that's not what Saul is thinking. He's thinking, He's getting more attention than I am.
Ah, isa ops, murag mo, murag mo, babag mo, murag mo, kompetensya na ko na.
I'm the big guy.
Ako, dako na lang ako, dugay na ko.
He's just a kid.
Bata pa ka, dako mo ka rin eh.
I can't allow this. And so you know what he, you know how he goes on. He's trying to murder David. Now it isn't enough. It's foolish. His rebellious idolatry. Now he has opened himself up to an unclean spirit. Now the paranoia begins. I mean, now he's sitting in his house. Oh, my troubles. And they had to bring David in and play on his guitar. Same thing, the strings. And David. No, it was not a drum.
Guitar.
No, David didn't bring his boom boom in. I'm glad you have a sense of humor. You didn't know you slipped that in, didn't you? No, he brought his stringed instrument. But you know what else David brought? He brought the anointing of the Spirit of God. And under the anointing, this paranoid man got deliverance. How many times get deliverance, go back down, get deliverance, go back down, go back down, try to murder David, throw the javelin at him, try to kill him. Amen. But God protect him. Finally David said, it's not good for me to stay here. I mean, even after Saul gave his daughter for his wife, he sent his men into the bedroom to kill David. And blamed his daughter for not giving him the chance to kill David. Do you remember all this? Yes. Now, David is on the run. And he comes to Nob, wasn't it? The town of Nob? And the name of the priest was Abimelech. No, not Abimelech. That was the guy back in Abraham's day. It starts with an A. Well, let's go look at it. It's in chapter 22. The priests. Okay. Listen to this. No, you've got to hear this. Ahimelech, yeah. And his son Ahitub, the son of Ahitub named Abiathar escaped. Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. Okay, but before that, now listen. Listen to the logic of this man. Chapter 22, verse 7 and 8. Then Saul said to his servants that stood about him, "Hear now, ye Benjamites, will the son of Jesse give every one of you fields and vineyards, and make you all captains of thousands and captains of hundreds?" That's verse 7 of And all of you have conspired against me. Yeah, everybody's against me. Come on, if that isn't paranoia, what is? The definition of paranoid is believing that everybody's against you. There's a conspiracy. Now, by the way, there are real conspiracies out there. Have you ever known anybody that really believes that everybody's out to get them? Oh yeah, I've known people like that. They're very difficult people to get along with. Very difficult. Their thinking is twisted. And I'm showing you what's happening to Saul. And so, therefore, Doeg the Edomite tells him, well, okay, he went over to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest, and the priest helped him out. Isn't that interesting that the Edomite would help him out? Oh, well, read verse 8 then, okay?
Nakamong tanan na nagkasabot batong kanako, o walay bisan usa na nagapahibalo kanako sa liha ng ang akong anak na lalaki, naging sabot uban sa mga anak na lalaki ni Isay, o walay bisan usa kaninyo na nagsubo tungod kanako, kung nagpahibalo kanako na ang akong anak na lalaki nagpadasig sa akong sulubon batong kanako, sa paglipot kanako ingon ining adlaw.
And none of you is sorry for me. I mean, it's like a little child. Nobody feels sorry for me. The king is acting like a baby. The problem is he has the power to kill people. And so he killed 70 priests. 70 priests. Now he's killing God's people. I'll try to make it quick here, but David went to the Ziphites. And it's interesting, David escaped there. He helped them out, really. I think it was the Ziphites. He delivered the city of Keilah. He delivered them from the Philistines. And then Saul heard that he was there. And David asked the Lord, he said, will I be safe here? No. What will these people do in this city? Will they turn me over to Saul? Yes, they will. And so he had to flee from there. And of course Saul came, and he came to the Ziphites. And in verse 20 of chapter 23, here's what the king says to Saul. He sends a message to Saul. Verse 20, now therefore, O king, come down according to all the desire of thy soul to come down, and our part shall be to deliver him into the king's hand.
Verse 20, Busa karon o hari, lumuksum ka sumala sa tanang tipunga sa imong kalag, sa paglugsong o ang imong bahi maulaman ang pagtugyan kaniya sa kamot sa hari.
Alright, so the king invited Saul to come up. David is here, we'll give him to you. Now what's most amazing is what Saul said to the king. Verse 21. And Saul said, blessed be ye of the Lord, for ye have had compassion on me. What a sick, sick man. Compassion on me so I could kill David. Alright, one more thing. I want you to see this. It's called obsession. Saul is now obsessed. His only goal in life, not to defeat the Philistines, not to save Israel from her troubles. He has only one goal: kill David. He's obsessed. Are you seeing these traits of paranoid schizophrenia? So Saul is obsessed with it. And you can see, he goes through these short-term repentance. Twice David had an opportunity to kill him. One time he cut off the corner of his garment. Another time he stole his water bottle while he was sleeping. And Saul, oh, I'm so sorry, my son David, I'm so sorry. And he's so sorry. Oh, I did wrong. But you see, he started that same pattern with Samuel. Oh, I did wrong, but bless me anyway today. I want to put on a good show for the people so they can really see a good king, you know. So he repents, and David I'm still going to stay away from him. He's still going to kill me if he gets a chance. In other words, it isn't a matter of what he says he's going to do, it's a matter of what he does. And finally, you can just follow this right up. He's always admitting he's guilty. And finally, in the 28th chapter, he comes to find a witch. He's come to the place where God no longer speaks to him. The Spirit of God is gone. Now we know the Spirit of God was gone way back when this unclean spirit kept coming to him. It says in the Bible that it was a troubling spirit from God that came to him. God opened him up. God allowed this unclean thing to come to him. And he had a brief time of reprieve. Each time he'd get a little reprieve. But now he's in a condition where there is absolutely no reprieve. There is absolutely no chance that he ever is going to hear the Spirit of God again. Basically, he's gone beyond the point of no return. The witch calls up Samuel. Samuel tells him exactly what's going to happen. Tomorrow, you're going to die in battle. So you can say that the next to the last day of his life, he did hear from God. And God said through the prophet Samuel, if you go into that battle, you will die. Your sons are going to die. And you're going to be here in the grave with me. So he had a warning. Even the grace of God in this stubborn man, one last warning. And what did he do about it?
Warning niya.
He went to battle. He died. Jonathan died. His sons died. His kingdom was gone. As far as I can see, I do not see any evidence that this man came into the kingdom of God. Very sad. The point is, he had time after time after time after time after time that he could have made a decision. And he kept making the wrong ones. So I take Saul as a warning, an example that God has given us.
Saul, mo lamang kinisya ang angay na itong kagaan o
a character study, don't go that way. God bless you.